In the sixth Aliyah of Parshas Beshalach, we read a lot about the man, which we don't have nowadays. But nonetheless, there are many implications for us nowadays. And one example of that is in Pasuk Tazayin, Perek Tazayin, where we find the language Zeha Davar Asher Tziva Hashem Liktu Mimenu Ish Lefi Achlo Omer La Golgoles Mispar Nafshel Seichem Ish LeAsher BaOlo Tikachu. So here is the commandment that everyone should collect the man in accordance with how much his family needs. And the language at the beginning of the pasuk, Zeha Davar, requires some explanation because there is a principle a number of the Achronim explain, such as the Brisker Rav and also Rabbi Yitzchak of Berdichev in his Kedushas Levi, that language of Zeha Davar indicates a direct nevuah from Moshe that is a tzivoy ledoros, that is a mitzvah for all generations. And when it's not a mitzvah for all generations, there's other languages that are used. So here it seems surprising because this is referring to collecting mun, and we don't have that nowadays. We don't have that for all generations. And yet we find this language of Zeha Davar. And Rav Schechter addresses this in his Sefer Be'ikvei Hatzon, and he points to a comment of Rabbeinu Bachya that even though we don't necessarily have mun, but what's reflected in this pasuk is an obligation to provide for one's family, that a man has to collect on behalf of his wife and on behalf of his children, and that obligation is reflective of the general requirement to support one's family, as is recorded in the Ksuba. So in this case, it referred to the man, but there is a mitzvah ledoros regarding earning a parnasa in general. And Beinu Bachya goes on to explain how the connection of this pasuk to the need for parnasa is also reflective of the relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's providing of that parnasa and the understanding that one has to have as far as that is concerned as well. In Pasuk Yitetz, we find the prohibition of leaving the man over for the next day. There is a discussion to be had about what is the nature of this prohibition. Rav Shlomo Sinneman in the Sefer Eish Tamid talks about this at some length, and he notes that this is not similar to the prohibition of Nosar we find regarding Korbanos, that here this is specifically about the lack of bitachon that would be displayed in thinking that one has to store some extra for the next day. And the difference between the two would be that if one indeed wasn't able to consume all of the mun that he had collected for that day, it would be okay to throw it out or to take it outside of one's residence. And various other halachos that apply to nosar are not relevant here because it's not similar to that category. Rather, it's about the lack of bitachon that would be displayed in intentionally preserving some for future days. However, the exception to this is Shabbos. They were required to collect on Friday double the amount so that they would be able to have for the next day for Shabbos. And that is reflected in the psukim here. In Pasuk Chaf Beis, we see Vayhi b'yom ha-shishi loktu lechem mishneh, shnei ha-omer le'achar v'yavo kol nisya ida v'yagidu l'moshe. So here, the question needs to be asked as well as to what is the isser of collecting the man on Shabbos. So it sounds like from the Gemara in Erevin on Daf Yud Zayin Amud Beis that this is an issue of hotzah. It was about carrying outside. The Sforno on these psukim, however, sounds like it's a prohibition of tlisha, even though the man is not actually connected to the ground, but picking it up would be okir davar migidulo, taking it away from where it grows, and therefore that prohibition should be relevant here. And the difference between the two would be whether there would be a prohibition on Yontif as well, and indeed regarding the question of whether the man fell on Shabbos or not. This is also a topic that is discussed at some length by Rabbi Sinneman in his Sefer Eish Tamid. Regarding the language of Lechem Mishneh, which we use today to mean the double bread that we have at each meal on Shabbos, here it's a reference to the extra loaf that was taken for Shabbos, and Rashi has a comment also regarding the language of Mishneh, quoting the Tanhuma, that it refers to Mishuneh, that it was different, that the taste and the whole experience of eating the man was fundamentally different and enhanced on Shabbos from the experience during the week. If it was true, though, that it was possible to taste whatever taste one wanted to have in the man, so then the question could be asked, which is also discussed by Rabbi Sinneman and Sefer Eish Tamid, why couldn't they simply choose to have that particular taste during the week and confer that taste upon the man? This would seem to suggest either that perhaps the mentality that Shabbos confers is one that is not replicable during the week, and therefore, even though the Jews experienced this on Shabbos, they couldn't conjure up that attitude during the week in order to confer that taste onto the man, or that the changing of the man was something that was inherent in the man itself on Shabbos and wasn't simply an aspect of the experience of eating the man, but it was something that affected the physicality of the man. And in fact, that's a question in general that Achronim discuss, such as Joseph Engel, it's quoted in the Sefer Otzros Yosef, that needs to be asked about this whole idea that the Jews were able to experience different tastes in the man. Should we say that that was itself a mental experience? The Ramban discusses in his commentary to Chumash that the eating of the man was tapping into something completely spiritual from the Elyonim, and therefore it was an experience that connected from the soul directly through the Machshava, and that could explain why one was able to experience any taste that he had in mind. Or should we assume that there is actually a physical change in the man that happened when the one tasting it had a different taste in mind? And that perhaps could affect a number of issues. One of the issues, as we discussed in the previous Aliyah, is the question of what bracha was recited on man. There are some who suggest that the bracha should correlate to the taste. Then one would assume, presumably, that the food itself was actually changing physical form to reflect that new taste, and therefore to deserve the appropriate bracha. The Ragachavar has a tshuva about whether one was permitted to taste a prohibited food in the man. That presumably also would connect to the question of whether it was simply the experience of a similar taste, or whether there was actually a physical change in the man to which there might be the possibility of assigning to it a status of iser, if indeed that was the decision. This is also relevant to a major discussion that surrounds Pasuk Chav Gimel. Here we find that a part of the instruction prior to Shabbos was Eis Asher Tofu Efu V'Eis Asher Tevashlu Bashelu, that which you want to have cooked, you should cook before Shabbos. That which you want to have baked, you should bake before Shabbos. And this poses the question that, being that there was no actual act of cooking or baking that was necessary in order to prepare the man, but it all happened through the process of machshava, so is the suggestion here that that was something that was prohibited to do on Shabbos? So the Netziv, in his commentary to the Mechilta, where the Mechilta emphasizes that this process was indeed happening through their decision to confer that impact on the man, so the Netziv writes that indeed it was prohibited to do that machshava of bishul on Shabbos, which raises the question overall, if there is such a prohibition to perform malachos through one's machshava on Shabbos. There's a contradictory indication in the Tshuvas Chasam Sofer and Chelik Vav and Simon Chav Tes, where he discusses the question of how Moshe was able on the final day of his life to write many Sifrei Torah, if that day was also Shabbos. And one approach he suggests there is that he performed this through his machshava, and that was apparently permitted, so that would seem to contradict this idea. This is highly relevant to many questions of modern technology, where it's increasingly possible to bring about things without any direct physical action, perhaps even with brainwave action, and that's a machshava, seemingly. So should we say that indeed that is prohibited on Shabbos? Is it prohibited on Shabbos as an actual malacha? Is it prohibited from some other perspective? So that's also a consideration, and that can be perhaps connected to what's happening in this pasuk. The Moshe of Zakenim, in his commentary to Baal Oscha, thought that perhaps they had to actually say it out loud in order to have this taste take effect, and perhaps there is a difference between simple machshava that doesn't actually involve verbal articulation and that which actually does. Either way, this could also have implications for contemporary technology, where malachos can be brought about through speech, and the question of whether that is considered an actual malacha is also a topic of much relevant attention. So many messages that emerge from these psukim of the man that affect us even today, even without the man being a part of our daily experience.